So as I mentioned, today is our second Global Mission Sunday, and we're going to be hearing from Scott Williams. But before I invite Scott up, we just want to talk for a few minutes just about what is Global Mission Sunday. And where we begin is this idea of opening our eyes and our hearts. Global Mission Sunday is about opening our eyes and our hearts to God's whole world, not just what we see, know, and experience here in Brockville. Mission Sundays are to challenge us to think outside of what we can control and choose faith in the God of the whole universe. I don't know if you guys know this, sometimes I forget, but God doesn't just live in Brockville. He's in the whole world and in the whole universe and in heaven. God is everywhere. And this idea of us stretching our knowledge, stretching our belief and our faith in God is something that Global Mission Sunday can really help us through. And contrary to popular belief, we don't know everything. Contrary to popular belief, we don't know everything. I know that seems obvious to say right here, but unfortunately, sometimes we act like it. For instance, I am the greatest trunk packer in the world. If you need luggage, I am better than any other human alive at packing that in the trunk of my car. And we all have things that we believe about ourselves that are like this. Or maybe you guys have all grown past that and it's just me. But this Sunday is an opportunity for us to stretch our thinking of God and grow our faith. When it comes to our faith, oftentimes we think we have it all sorted out. We've arrived. We've arrived at knowing what we need to know to live our faith. We trust ourselves and our certainty and what we know more than we trust the truly infinite God. And that's a big mistake. We choose certainty over faith. There's a line that the staff has been saying this summer, and it's, the opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is not doubt. It's certainty and control. A healthy amount of doubt feeds our faith. It makes us look for answers, to search after God with hunger and humility. The opposite of faith is not doubt. It's certainty and control. And the reality is, we are not fully in control. God has so much more to teach us of love for the whole world and further transformation for ourselves and restoration for the world. This is what the gospel, the movement of Christ, does. But this hinges on us humbly choosing and chasing faith, and abandoning our arrogant certainty. And a great place to start in this process of humble faith is to begin to open our eyes to hear from people who are serving God in other parts of the world, hence Global Mission Sunday. So there's this line that Scott and I, who is going to come up in a minute, talked about yesterday and this week, is by Eugene Peterson, all theology is rooted in geography. All theology is rooted in geography. What this means is twofold. First, theology is from the Greek word theos, which means God, and logia, which means discourse and learning. So theology is the study of God. That's all that means. But our theology is rooted in geography. And the meaning of this is our understanding of God and what we know and how we talk about God and think about God is shaped by our context. Where you live, where I live, and where people on this globe live shapes our understanding and interactions with God. And I have a perfect story to share how this is true. All of our experiences shape our understanding. In the past, we've talked about it as a blender. Everything that we learn and see and experience and teach goes into our minds, this blender, and what the smoothie that comes out is our perspective. And our geography and our culture is a major import and part of that. My daughter, Georgia, is just over a year now, and she waves at most people she sees like this. Just she kind of flicks her wrist, almost like the antithesis of the Queen of England. She goes like this and waves and flaps. But how that has shaped me is when I'm carrying her, pushing her in a stroller, or even when I just wave at people now, I go like this. Christina pointed it out to me the other day. I was pushing a stroller, and Georgia was in here, and someone came to, because I'm trying to get everybody to interact and be friendly together, so I'm just waving at everyone like this. Our context, our lives, what we're going through shapes how we see, perceive, and act in the world. And Brockville, Canada, 2018, shapes our faith. But the reality is, what we see and experience is good. God is good. He provides fridges. He allows us to serve in Brockville and love people. God is good here in Brockville, but we can't limit God to just Brockville in Canada. This is the creator and redeemer of the whole universe. So Global Mission Sunday is an opportunity for us to see farther outside of what we know and experience of God. We must not limit our understanding and grasp of God to one place on the map. God's love for us, you and I, is not rooted in our own personal geography. God's love for the world is rooted in who he is. And in conclusion, when the borders of our faith are limited by the borders of country, culture, what we've seen and experienced, then we not only limit our faith, we miss what God's love is doing in the world he created and died for. Shane Claiborne says, being a Christian is not about having new ideas, it's about having new eyes. So this morning, let's challenge ourselves to have new eyes, to have an opportunity to humbly choose faith over certainty as we hear more about what God is doing. So I'm going to invite Scott to come up. Everybody say hello to Scott Williams. Many of you know Scott. Some of you have yet to meet him. You can charge him out in the foyer after the church, and he's got some stuff to hand to you. Scott and I first met, I think when we... Scott just had knee surgery. That's why he's hobbling like that.
I think it's more because I'm old, but...
It was actually a knee replacement, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's actually 77, just doesn't look it.
Feels like it someday.
Scott and I first met, I think, right away when we moved here in 2012 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
And went on a missions trip to El Salvador, and I was reflecting on this as a memory came up on Facebook of a timeline, and we were talking about this morning. One of the days that we were there, we went to have kind of a debrief beach day, a Sabbath, as you will, and there was a picture of us without our shirts on at the beach, and we weren't super fit in this picture. So we have that going, although you've been working out a lot, I've heard.
I had been, yeah.
Before your knee replacement.
Then I quit, which we usually do, right? You go to get that gym membership and you love it, and you just go and you put your shoes at the gym and you don't go back for a year.
Yeah, well,
pick up the shoes and leave.
The two most common times for a spike in gym memberships are September and January.
Makes sense.
So yeah, that's good. We're not talking about gym memberships this morning, though. We're talking about Scott's mission to El Salvador, and I just thought we could have a quick conversation before you preach this morning. And the question I had for you is, what are some of the highlights of what God's doing right now in your guys' lives?
Ooh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Highlights. I think mostly he's teaching us as a family the simplicity of the gospel. I think, and I'm not trying to get be melodramatic or too deep right away, but I think we're seeing from everything that we're experiencing that it doesn't need to be as complicated as we make it out to be. I think that's great teaching for us as a whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's is one of the highlights that he's doing for us for sure.
Mm-hmm. Childlike faith.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Is that the type of answer you wanted, or were
it's
you like
perfect.
Beach well, day wanted or something?
No, that's really good. One of the things that I've always appreciated about the Williams ministry is their ability just to really connect with people. And I'm excited for you guys to connect with Scott this morning. And please talk to him after and connect with him. And there's opportunity to partner with them in their ministry and what they're doing, both in prayer support and keeping up with what they're doing and knowing that our church supports them as missionaries. So I'm just going to pray. I'm going to get out of here and you guys, we can hear from Scott together. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we can be together as a family, as those created in your image, tasked with loving you and loving the world. I can't wait for what you're going to do in 2018 and 2019, not only in Brockville, but all over this world that you've created. God, as Scott preaches this morning, I pray that you'd speak through him, and I pray that our eyes would be opened and our faith would be stretched, that we wouldn't limit you or your church to what we understand, perceive, and know, but that the simple faith, as Scott says, can transform this world when we truly move in obedience to your gospel. Amen.
Thanks, Nick. That was easy. I thought there was going to be a few more questions. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Great. First of all, I'm going to say it's obvious. My family's not here. So I know they want it to be because, why not? We're a family. It kind of makes sense, right, John? that we should be together. I usually do these trips all by myself. I travel 2 or 3 months a year, just travel churches and say hello, and I just came to Saskatchewan a week ago, and I flew in here a couple days ago. And before I left El Salvador, everyone was telling me there was a heat wave. And I got to Saskatchewan, I woke up the first morning, it was 10 degrees. And then I thought, liars. And then I came here, and it wasn't too hot either the last few days. Yesterday was a little bit more humid, right? Is that, today is a little bit more humid? But, you know, the body takes 3 weeks to acclimatize, and so, like, I live at 35 degrees all the time. It rains, or it's dry, but it's always hot. And so coming now for this trip, it takes a few minutes for me to get into it. But anyways, my family would love to be here, and I'll tell you why we all want to be here specifically. So I travel a lot of churches. I see a lot of different people, and I get to share about what we're doing in El Salvador, but there's only a handful of times that we get to go to places, churches, groups that have cared for us for so long on so many different levels. And I want you to know that we thank you, the peer, immensely. You guys have been with us since before we went into missions. We were 10 years on the field so far, and you guys have been with us since day one. Not just have you been praying for us and supporting us financially for 10 years, but you've also been down oodles of times. You've helped us build the cistern and many other projects. You've helped reach all kinds of kids in the country, and it's one thing to give money, it's another thing to go and give your time, but you guys are doing both, and you've done it for so long. And I mean, it means a lot to us, because there's sometimes on the field and in ministry and in life, you guys know that sometimes life isn't amazing every single day, but to know that you got a group behind you that believe in you, it means a lot. Anyways, thank you. You guys should give yourselves a hand for that, because that's pretty amazing. There we go. Yeah, good work. Okay, so for a few minutes, I just want to share about El Salvador. So you guys know El Salvador. Many of you have been, but for those of you who don't know, it's south about 5 hours. So you get to El Salvador. It's a beautiful country. It really is. The people are amazing. The culture is so hospitable. I can go anywhere in the country for any reason and show up on a door, knock, and create a conversation, and I'll have coffee in my hands in minutes. Very, very open, very willing to just speak and share life with each other. The geography is okay. It's been deforested many years ago, but overall, we love the country. We love the people. It's just one of those countries that we feel really at home. But you know, El Salvador has its dark side. I really don't need to tell you all about it, but long story short, not the safest country in the world. But in amongst all that stuff, God is doing an amazing work. And we're excited to be a part of it. We've been a part of it now for 10 years. And we reach kids. That's what we do. I mean, you guys hear our story and you get our emails back frequently, but that's all we do. We just focus on kids. Now our kids grow up and they become teens and young adults and adults and seniors, but that doesn't matter to us. We get everyone, no matter how old they are or how young they are, all discipled to do one thing, and that's to reach kids. And honestly, it goes well. We're in a good place. We're in a safe place right now. I'm not safe from violence, but safe professionally and as a family. We're in a good space. We know what we're doing, and we've had many different roles over the years. I've had a chance to run the entire ministry. I've had a chance to be in charge of finances and communication and teams, and a lot of good things have been happening over the years. One of the things that happens that's been incredible has been the business program that we started. So a few years ago, we thought we need to fill this gap because we send missionaries out all over the world. So we're a children's organization, but we our goal is to send everyone out on missions. So now we've got missionaries all over the world, but they raise money the same way we raise money. Go from church to church to church, share your story and get offerings and move on to the next place. Well, in El Salvador, it's a little different than here, with minimum wage having just raised from $200 to about $300 a month. When you go to a lot of the churches, we've got about 2,000 churches, a lot of our churches will give offerings of 25 cents or 50 cents or $5. A good offering would be $20. So when you've got our missionaries going out around the world, you've got Philippines and India and Cambodia and Eastern Europe and In Spain, we got one individual. In Africa, all through Latin America. Budgets, like, it still costs money to live. You still got to get to the place. You still have to eat. You still got to do your ministry. And so some of these kids, their budgets are pretty big. And so you can imagine going from church to church and raising offerings of 25 or 50 cents. It's like, how's that going to happen? It takes years sometimes, years and years for people to raise their money. So we thought, let's start a business program. Because I believe that as much as God can provide through gifts and offerings, he can provide through business. And so we start this program, and we're not teaching them any one task. What we wanted to teach them was just the practical application, more of the soft skills behind business. So we start out with, you know, the understanding of finance and the understanding of how to handle money. First of all, what is money? Because some people wouldn't even understand the full concept of money. And so we teach them what is money and how to handle it and how to budget. And then we get them into different business initiatives, whether that's like a small store or a carpentry shop or baking or rentals of our facilities, whatever it is. We teach them how to do inventory control and customer management and product research and product launch and how to do customer service. But we kind of teach them the whole thing. And our goal at the beginning, and this is going to sound pretty incredible, but our goal in the beginning was to have one kid succeed through this program. We actually believe that at the end of the day, if we could just get one kid to grab a hold of this vision and go on, it would be good. Well, we've had the fortune to having several. So we have 80 students in our first year program, and then it goes down to about 40 students, and then third year we have about 20 students. And so we start teaching them in first year. So we've had lots of kids come through our program. And I think there's an image of some kids. Don't we have an image? So these, oh yes. So that was just a snapshot we took quickly before I got on the plane to come home. But those ones there are just the ones that are in the program right now that are also about to leave. So they've raised their money to go to their countries. So we've got one girl in there who, you got to understand, because culturally, like Nick was saying, theology and geography go hand in hand in a lot of cases. And in El Salvador, to say business can provide for missions goes right against the teaching in the church, nationally and regionally. It goes right against it. So for them to grab a hold of this it's a big deal. So a little girl in the center there, Vanessa, the shortest one, she went back to school to become a nurse. You would not believe the amount of slack she took for that. But now she's graduated and she's going into missions. We've got Edwin on the right side. He's a painter. Now Edwin, he came into the program and he wanted to be able to paint, but he just didn't have the time, the resources, the freedom to be able to do it. So we were able to give him those skills and the opportunities to be able to do that, give him the student loan to be able to pay his tuition. And so he came in, he was in debt after the first year. He got involved in our program. He paid off his first year, paid off his second year, paid off his missions year that he's about to go do. And he also paid off one of his friend's bills. It's incredible. They're starting to grab a hold of it. And so these kids are now going out around the world. I mean, we've got represented here. We've got some in Latin America, in the Southern Cone. And we've got some going out to, one girl there going to Cambodia. And so it's neat to see what God is doing. But there's been a bit of a problem with this whole thing. It's started to challenge Melissa and I. So a year ago, or I guess a year and a half ago, we started our own business. Because we started to figure that we need to be teaching by example. So we did. We've got involved in a few different irons in the fire as far as business goes, and we're hoping that one day will help us be able to do more mission as that goes down the road. But these kids here too, not just these ones, but our kids, when they travel, now they don't. At first when we were sending missionaries out, we were doing the easy countries. We were doing Mexico to Argentina, the Caribbean, easy for us. It's Spanish for the most part, except Brazil. Some indigenous languages in there as well, but it's an easy region for us. But our kids are starting to get called out to the more closed nations, the harder nations, further away, with bigger budgets and more of a learning curve and the cultural impact they're going to have. So that's been hard on them, but it's starting to challenge us as well. And so I'd probably ask you guys a question: Has God been speaking to any one of you to think about doing something a little bit more difficult, or something that you know he's speaking to you about that you're just nervous about doing? Because I'm pretty sure he is. Would that be accurate? Like, God wants you to do something, but sometimes it's just so tough to take that first step. Well, I've been puttering around in the book of Joshua for quite some time, and if you put up that one scripture, for time I'm not going to read it, but you guys can read it behind me while I chat. To me, this chapter is pretty incredible. This whole story, this whole before and after of this first chapter of Joshua is, to me, just so practical for us in the last years. But Joshua, up until this point, he had been traveling with the Israelites and with Moses, and he had been, you know, Moses' helper for years. And right in this chapter, he's on the edge of the Jordan River. Moses had just died, and he's about to take over. He knows it, and he's standing there, and I almost want to get into his shoes, and I want to think a little bit about what he's feeling. The guy he had been following and leading under just dies. Now, he knows it's on his shoulders to lead these Israelites that are behind him, and they haven't always been amazing. They've had their ups and their downs and their bright moments and their hard sides, and now he's got to lead the show. Not only that, he's on the edge of the Jordan River looking into what he knows is the promised land, but you can just imagine all the emotions that he's going through. Not to mention, right in front of him is a giant river that they've got to cross. And he knows on the other side of that river, you've got all kinds of kingdoms that are ready to destroy him or destroy anyone that comes near them. And that's when God speaks up and he says, Joshua, Moses is dead. You're the guy. Moses is dead and you're the guy, and you're going to have to lead all these Israelites. But don't worry. Be strong and be courageous. And he says, I know you're going to go down in the Jordan River. It's going to open up. You're going to go into the other side. And there's kingdoms there. But don't worry. Be strong and courageous. You're going to be leading the Israelites into battle. And everywhere you put your foot, don't worry. I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. And so I could just think for a few seconds, why did God say that to Joshua? Because I'm sure Joshua was standing there with his mouth open thinking, I had it so easy. I was leading under Moses. Not everything was on my shoulders. And God could just see into Joshua's heart that the fear that he had, the worry maybe, or maybe he wanted to run. Maybe he didn't want the job. But God says to him, don't worry, I'm with you. Just be strong and courageous. And then we know what happens in the following chapters. They go down into the Jordan River and it parts and it's a beautiful scene. They all cross. They pick up these stones of remembrance and they pile them up. And so it'll always be a moment, a place where they can come back and remember what God did. And then they travel down a little further into the valley and they meet up with the city of Jericho. And we know what happens there. They go around it a bunch of times. The walls fall and everyone's happy because God's doing what he said he was going to do. And the whole time, God is saying to Joshua, don't worry, I'm with you. Where you put your feet, I'm with you. Be strong and courageous. And that speaks so much life to me because I look at my students, and they're going to these nations. To them, they must be walking in a little bit of fear, and they need to be strong, and they need to be courageous. They're going to close nations, some of them. We've got some in Iran. We've got some in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, harder nations. But also because you guys have been with us for so long, and I know that you believe in us, and you value us as people, and that means a lot to us. I want to share one more thing with you. So we've been with El Salvador for 10 years, and it's been great. And honestly, it's in an easy place now. We are known as the missionaries in El Salvador, you know, through many churches. We host many teams every year. We know what we're doing. We know the people. We know the slang on the street, and we know the right food to eat. We know how to address people correctly in the culture. But God is doing something in our lives. God has been shaking us up, and he's telling us that you're going to be moving. So I want to tell you guys first that we're looking at transition. And I got to be honest with you, it's scary. There's so many unknowns that we're walking into. We know that we're going to be going to a culture that is a lot harder, what's considered post-Christian, super secular. They don't want to know about the gospel. And that's going to be hard because in El Salvador, I can go on the street and I can start speaking, I can start preaching and have a team come in and we'll have thousands of kids throughout the week come to Christ. But I know that where we go, it's going to be a lot harder where we want to step out and we want to do something, but maybe we'll reach one person for Christ in the entire year. But I'm sure God is telling us to be bold, be strong and courageous. I'm sure he is. But I wonder if he's saying the same thing to you. As he speaks to you, as he speaks to us to move out and go do something else, and as he's speaking to our students to go and do something else, and what is he speaking to you? What is the peer up to these days in Brockville? Where does he want to take you, and where does he want you to walk with him? What is it that he's challenging you as a body to do? Whatever it is, I don't care what it is. I'm just encouraging you to be bold and be strong and courageous. Just as Joshua walked into the valley and had to lead these Israelites, and God was telling him, I'm with you, don't worry about it. He's telling you, he's with you. And just do what he wants you to do. Because I can't agree any more than what Nick was talking about earlier with the Peer 101 course. Just living our lives incarnationally and at a relationship with people. Sure, it's one thing to smack someone over the head with a Bible and hopefully something happens. But it's all about just sharing life, sharing Christ, sharing the ups and the downs, and just being reflective of what he wants us to be and who he wants us to be at all times. And so, Nick, this is where I'm going to close it. You can come up and continue, but just that one last thought. Let me encourage you just to be bold, be strong, and be courageous. Because I know he's speaking to every one of you. Some of us aren't hearing it. Some of us are hearing it and ignoring it. And some of us are hearing it and saying no. And then maybe some of us would be hearing it and saying yes. But I can't, Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd love... Well, first of all, thanks for sharing, Scott, and challenging us to be strong and courageous in our faith. And I really appreciate your honesty as well, and I'm excited to hear about what God's doing as you guys transition to further serve him abroad. Let's take a few minutes as a church and take not only this passage in Joshua seriously, where God challenges the Israelites to keep moving in obedience to him, but let's challenge ourselves personally with the question that Scott asked, what is God asking us to do as followers of him? What can you do? What can I do to be strong and courageous in our faith, to live authentically here in Brockville, knowing that the God of the whole universe asks us to step out in our faith? So we're going to spend some time in worship and reflection, and let that challenge rest on your heart as we spend a few minutes maybe pumping the brakes and asking God some questions, or going through some stuff that we know God has been challenging us to, that we've either been running from, ignoring, or just not quite courageous enough. The most common one-liner in the Bible is, do not be afraid. When things are hard, when things are scary, not only is God always with us by our side, but we as a church, as a community, walk together, not alone, together. So let's spend some time in worship and reflection and ask yourself, what has God put in front of you that you need to show courage through? Is it personal? Is it through your family? Is it through work? Is it through school? Because God has something more when we step out in faith and choose courage and are strong and courageous. So let's spend a few minutes in worship before we close this morning. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for Scott and his words of encouragement for us. And as we spend some time in reflection, I pray that not only would we take this moment seriously, but that we would take stepping out in our faith seriously as we live in Brockville in 2018. And I pray that we would support the Williams and pray with them through their transition in missions. And God, we're thankful for your church. We're thankful that we were created to serve your mission here on earth. Amen.